Carter Broadway here in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, where I don't have to look at a laptop screen tonight. It's Mr. 100 and the Five Star Man here on the Podzilla 1985 Network. I am your host, Shannon Young, Mr. 100. It is Tuesday. I am liquored up. Let's do this.
What?
That's come.
He lied.
Half of that was a lie. Down at the end of the table is the Five Star Man, Asa Gray.
I don't know why, but the pause, like just that real quick pause, means like, did he forget my name?
No. Well, I almost said the Five Star Man himself, but that's when I've combined you into Tanner Gravert.
That's when me and
Tanner Gravert.
Tanasa Gravert.
No, please.
Make that happen.
I don't want to be on a bad Naruto spinoff.
But is there a good one? Oh, take that, Naruto fans.
It's called Naruto, Son of Naruto. Naruto. The Naruto story by Naruto. Featuring Naruto.
It's Boruto, remember?
Based on the poem Naruto by Naruto.
Trump. Next to us is the lovely Allie, not actually a bear.
Hello.
Brought that one back for you. And then we got a special guest tonight who's manning the laptop because I forgot to bring mine. Host of Nerd Up and a good friend of ours, Justin Kimball.
Hey, it's actually kind of weird to have the laptop on this side of the table and not the host seat.
That's true. I'm just sitting in front of the microphone. It feels so weird.
You don't know what to do with your hands.
I don't.
What makes me real nervous, and I know it's fine, but it's not the laptop's not plugged in. So I'm just expecting it like the 40-minute mark to like, oh.
Hey, buddy, how much juice you got?
Oh, it's almost full. We've got 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Is that your cord that's here, by the way?
Probably.
Okay. Is it a Dell?
Yeah.
Yeah, then it probably is.
Okay, cool.
All right, so we've got the cord just in case.
I was actually going to say it was in my backpack. but no, we've got over 2 hours of battery life. It should be just fine.
Awesome.
So you heard it here. 2 hours of
high quality content. I want to send a couple shout-outs real quick. I want to send a shout-out to Toy Bomb here in Cape Girardeau. A guy messaged us today who listens to the show, and we talked about Toy Bomb on Thursday because I went there, Jesse, as you know, and got that sweet Ghostbusters 4-pack.
Can confirm.
The holiday edition one from Ghostbusters 2, which is awesome. And we had a fan tell us that he didn't know about Toy Bomb. And he went down there for the first time because of hearing about it on the show. And that's just really, really cool. And we do love Toy Bomb. I want to send that fan a shout out. And I want to send Toy Bomb a shout out, of course. Also, we had the CCW event over the weekend. A lot of great guys on there who are listeners of the show that are also wrestlers. But we'll talk a little bit more about that on tomorrow's show. I'm saying it now.
A little bit.
I'm saying it now because I want to know if they listen to anything other than Pro Wrestling Unscripted and Nerd Up.
We know some of them do.
Some of them. But if you're not listening to Mr.
See you, Austin Lane.
Yeah. Yeah, on vacation, whatever. I hope that vacation was the best.
Of the best.
Damn.
I did it on his picture.
I didn't feel good about it. So tonight we're going to talk about DC. And this sort of started as a joke that became a real thing because last week, was it last week or the week before last week?
It was the week before last week last week we did the stream.
Okay.
Instead of doing the
normal
this show.
Because that's when we were going to do the... Shannon learns about the DC universe.
Right, but instead we paused that because we just got Injustice 2. We all played it that night, like the whole night. We did a stream. It was about an hour long. You can find that on Ace's Twitch channel, The Five Star Man. And that's spelled out, right? Five Star Man?
The number five.
Number five Star Man.
I'm pretty sure.
You can find it on there. It was a good time. We had a lot of fun. We're going to do some more streams in the future. Mm-hmm. We didn't really have a lot of...
We had no structure.
Yeah.
It was literally just me playing for like an hour with like, I played Dalton, I played Jesse, I played you, I think.
Yes, at the very end.
At the very end, yeah.
And we didn't really have a real preview for it either. Mm-hmm. I think like an hour or two before we were like, hey guys, we're doing a stream tonight.
Yeah.
So when we do streams in the future, we're going to have a day set for it and we're going to advertise it better. But during that, we mentioned, because on Nerd Up, you guys were talking about The Flash, I think it was.
Yeah.
And I have no idea what you're saying. And I fancy myself a comic book guy, but after hearing you two talk about the 30 different Flashes and Dr. Zoom and Dr. Colossus, I have no idea what it is. So we're going to talk about that. Before we do, though, I just want to say something real quick. So if you've been paying attention to the news, I feel like we have to mention it because I don't want people to think that we don't think about it. Obviously, the Manchester attacks last night at the Ariana Grande concert. It's devastating. And I would love to talk at length about what happened, but there's nothing to say other than I spent a lot of last night staring at my TV for hours watching CNN. I even watched Fox News. I wanted to get as many different, you know, channels and views on it that I could. I wanted to know everything that I could find out about it. And it's terrible. It's horrible. I was literally depressed most of the night. I tweeted about it. I never tweet. Like, if that's any indication of how important it is. And it doesn't matter in the long run, but we're all thinking about the people that are affected by this, and we all feel terrible for them. But other than that, what can you say? How many times have we done the super evil people did super evil things on this show? You know?
Yeah.
It's beating a dead horse. And I mentioned this on Facebook earlier, is can you be happy and can you talk about happy things in the face of such terrible news? Like, should we feel okay yes. about coming on here and doing something fun when something terrible happens?
Yes.
And yes, absolutely you should. You can't let the terrible things in life stop you from enjoying life.
Because that's the that is their goal.
Right. You're doing a disservice to the people that died by not being happy.
That said, people like, I'm not even going to say his name.
The guy you're talking about on Twitter?
The guy on Twitter who, his tweet was literally, multiple fatalities confirmed. I also almost died the first time I heard Ariana Grande's music.
Yeah.
Who some freelance journalist,
yeah.
put that in the hardest air quotes I can. And then he made the same joke that he's made at least six other times on Twitter about how he thought Ariana Grande was something you order from Starbucks.
And that's
and it's like, yeah, this is a good time to joke about dead kids.
I don't understand that. Like, I get.
And his defense, well, in his defense of, well, I didn't know the magnitude of the situation. Literally, the half of your joke tweet was multiple fatalities confirmed.
And
so,
if it was one fatality confirmed, if it was zero fatalities confirmed, but people were hurt, if it was anything related to a terrorist bombing, you should not be making jokes about it. Mm-hmm. And this is coming from people that make jokes about everything.
Especially when it's, when there are still people in danger and are stranded and unable to get home.
And missing. And,
which that is one, like, that is one positive coming out of it was just the outpouring of support. The Manchester taxi service was sending cabs for free to yes. take people home.
Yes.
There was a hashtag on Twitter. I don't remember the name of it. That was offering free rooms.
At a hotel and, was
like,
letting people.
Like hotel yeah. was letting mm-hmm. people stay. Like B&B, like Airbnb places were letting people just stay.
Right.
If they didn't have a way to get home. Because there were a lot of children there.
Yeah. Wasn't yeah. there a woman that actually went to one of the hotels that offered rooms and like. She really saved a lot of children from this incident, and she even like found ways to contact the parents to let them know that your kids are okay, they're here, how can I get in touch yeah. with you?
Even Ariana Grande's mom mm-hmm. was leading people out during the explosion. Mm-hmm. And I'm not an Ariana Grande fan. I'm probably not even pronouncing her name right because I don't listen to her music, but it's not really for me. And
that has no
bearing on this.
Yeah.
But,
it's,
you know.
It's the same thing, which I'm assuming we're going to talk about on Sunday with Zack Snyder.
Yes.
Like, there's so many people saying, oh, well, I didn't like him as a director. But
that shouldn't
it's
matter.
Like, why do you have to qualify it like
yeah.
that? Like, this is just a terrible thing that happened to a human being.
And that was going
to
be my point, was that if anyone out there is going, well, if the first thing you think of is, well, I don't like her music, that's not the point. Mm-hmm. That should have nothing to do with this. These are real people that are suffering. And someone that we know, and I'm not going to say his name, posted something about it on Facebook relating it to gun violence in America and how evil finds another way. And I wanted to lash out because I think that's ridiculous. This is not the time to turn this into a political debate. Mm-hmm. Even Donald Trump, it took him until this morning to tweet out about this. And my first reaction was, why did it take him so long? Why is it taking him so long to tweet out about
it? Because he had to make sure that, you know, it was rumored that it was Islamic radicals.
But my point was I wasn't going to make a joke about it. But Asa, you took care of that for me.
I mean,
me,
that's
so
why.
That's fine.
I mean, alternatively, he could have been trying to make sure that Kellyanne Conway didn't make up another shooting.
Or what I thought was probably is because he's in another country. He may have been asleep. The time zones are different.
He's exhausted.
Who knows? He needs stamina. I said I wasn't going to make a joke about it. But what's not funny is what happened. It really isn't.
I will say, like, it might have been Lee Montgomery that shared. There's a Facebook page called Death by Metal.
Yes.
And they even had, like, a really nice, like...
Even
just
if
because,
you're not a pop fan.
Just because it's pop music doesn't mean that these people's lives are not, you know, valuable yeah. and this should have never happened. Because this easily could have been a metal show.
Right.
And, like, I actually really like that sentiment that they didn't have to share. But it's just... I thought that was...
But there are those people out there who will say, oh, it's pop music, who cares? Oh, good, maybe then this will kill off pop.
That many fewer terrible music fans.
Yeah.
Saw that on Twitter a couple times.
And you're terrible. If that's how you feel, if that's how you feel and you're listening to this show, stop listening to the show. You are not the kind of listeners we want. And I don't care if that offends someone. I don't care. Like, this is not the time to be making fun when maybe I'm getting older, and because I'm getting older, I'm a little less edgy than I used to be. But I feel like this is not, dead people are not the time to make jokes. Mm-hmm. So stop it.
I just don't understand the logic behind that. I dislike this music so much that I am happy people died listening to it. Like, how does that logic work?
I don't understand logic of people in general.
That's sociopathic.
Yeah, it really is.
I don't understand how someone wears a suicide vest and kills innocent people. That I don't comprehend that.
I mean, in a lot of cases, it's straight up the religious factor.
And I don't understand that either. Like, I get religion. I get why people are religious. And I, even though I'm not religious myself, I understand why people are. And I know that not everyone who is religious is crazy.
No, I mean, like, you it's the
fanaticism.
Fanaticism. Yeah. Like, there's
fundamentalism.
Zealots.
Yeah.
But that
like
anyone
that.
Would believe that. That anyone would believe that that is the way it is.
When it's your entire, what's her name? She was in King of Queens.
Leah Remini.
Remy?
Remini.
Remini. She's been speaking out against Scientology
a lot.
Yeah,
we watched the show she did.
Like, she did the HBO show. And one of the things that she mentioned, because she's done a couple Reddit AMAs, was that, like, when you were solely brought up being told that this is your worldview, you don't question it. Because that's all you've ever known. It's coming from the people you trust most in the world, so there's no reason for them to be wrong. And especially in cases like that, where you're straight up not allowed to look at alternate, you know, points of view or like do your own research, and it's just that constant echo chamber of what you've heard as from a child, then that's just
you as
were
wrong
so
as it is.
You were so convinced that that's how it just is, and you know, you can't, they can't believe that we don't see it.
Yeah,
like our disbelief for that belief, like for that, is how they feel towards us. Just like how, well, it's so obvious. How can you deny that?
And it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking to think that anyone from any religion would ever think that killing innocent children is part of God's plan.
Is a good thing, yeah.
It baffles me, and I don't understand it. And that was the biggest reason, well, the second biggest reason I felt so heartbroken last night. Obviously, the first reason is because people died. Mm-hmm. But that people would believe that it's okay to kill each other in any circumstance, especially this. I don't get it. I wish I did, but I don't. But that's it. That went longer than I meant it to. I really didn't mean to stretch it out that long. It's just I literally stared at my phone last night and at the TV for probably till about 3 a.m. Just shaking my head and going, why is this happening? Why does this always happen? You know, like, what will it take to stop this? Mm-hmm. And I don't have an answer.
Nope.
Anyway, sorry to get so heavy on you. I didn't mean to. Let's talk about fun things. Because that's what we're here to do tonight. Let's talk. And this is the thing I said on Facebook was, can you go from that to this and not feel guilty?
And yes, because if, like I said, then this is their goal, is they want to make you afraid. They want you to
give up,
be scared and give up and just, okay, well, this is just how it is. So we are going to change our way of life to just be fearful.
Yeah.
And by doing that, you're just absolutely letting them win.
Which I don't want to do.
Because there's a difference between pretending it didn't happen and, like, ignoring it and just actively dishonoring the dead people. But then also, like, if life shut down every time something terrible happened, there would never be,
there'd be
anything
no life.
Else.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, you know, before my mom passed away, she always told me to never be sad when she dies. Mm-hmm. Because why would she want me to be sad over it? You know, why would she ever want me to be sad? And I'm sure a lot of people feel that way. There's that if something tragic happens, you don't ignore it. You acknowledge what happened. Mm-hmm. You mourn, but at some point you have to be yourself. You have to be alive again.
Yeah.
So I don't have a good segue. I'm not even going to attempt it. Let's just jump into DC. Mm-hmm. So we're playing Injustice 2, and it's amazing. By the way, have you guys talked about this at length on Nerd Up yet?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, we hit it for about 30 minutes.
I was like, that'll eat up some time. I haven't played it nearly as much. I just found out tonight that, according to kids, Asa, that you can do AI loadouts for your match. And I didn't know what that meant. I thought that was strictly for the AI 3-on-3 battles, the Pokemon battles. Mm-hmm. But it turns out that you can do it through the towers, too, which is cool. Because now I don't have to do anything in the game I bought.
It's a way for – I mean, you can just do it. Like, so I used it for – it's a way to level up characters that you don't necessarily like to play.
Like Poison Ivy.
Like Poison Ivy, and Dr.
Captain
Fate.
Captain Cold.
Robin. For me, it's Robin. And that really bums me out. Like, I really need that piece of gear that turns him into Nightwing. Because, like,
Andrew's got everything but the staff.
Yeah, so I need the I need the staff. But so, because since the gear is level locked, if your character is just sitting at level one because you've only played like five matches with them, and you keep getting this like level three, level four gear, you're never going to be able to equip it. So you can do these AI battles and just send them to fight for you. But it's not just computer versus computer. You can equip gear to specific types of gear because all of the gear has different attributes. And some have like, oh, this does extra damage to villains in multiverse mode.
Kryptonians.
This does extra character XP.
Right.
So you can pick out what kind of build you want for your character. Then you can adjust their AI settings. So like if you have a Deadshot, you can tell him to focus more on zoning and like no combos or no rush in. So there's all sorts of different, like there's grapple, zoning, rush in, escape, and counters.
That's so ridiculously intricate for a fighting game.
Yeah.
To put that much into it.
My Bane is nasty. He's currently undefeated.
Can't confirm. He's nasty.
Shannon watches just like, and the meter goes down.
Well, what makes it worse is that Asa had it on like 4x speed.
When you do...
So Bane is just like... just tearing him apart.
You can't turn it on when you're doing like the multiverse towers, but whenever you're doing the 3v3, you challenge a team of three characters... And it's just one-on-one matches, and whoever wins the 2 out of 3 wins the
And this
prize.
Is against real people,
their
teams.
This is other people who have set their own defense
team. It's like if you ever play Call of Duty. Remember Call of Duty Ghost? Remember we used to do the battles where you could pit your AI guys against other people's AI guys? Same thing. Did you never do that?
No.
That was one of my favorite modes. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I never messed with that.
And
I loved it.
This is honestly a lot of fun. It is. Like to figure out like who needs to be built how, and then picking good counters to when you see like, okay, well, this is this match. You know, I don't want to put a zoner against someone who's crazy good at rush down.
Right.
Like, you want to be able to.
There's strategy.
That. Yeah, there's a lot of
strategy. There's a lot of
strategy
involved. It's very cool.
And I just, I'm spending way more time in it. And then I also, there is a way to cheese it for rewards for the multiverse mode. Cause like I put in the group chat last night, my level 6 Deadshot beat a level 20 Batman. So I got that diamond box. I didn't earn that diamond box.
Wait, how do you get the diamond boxes?
That was a reward for beating the level 20 character. Like some of those multiverse.
Oh, for the multiverse. Yeah, I've not tried it. Because
level 20?
Yeah, because it always tells me, it's like, you sure you want
to
do this?
Go to YouTube, and there are actual, like, Maximilian Dude and Ketchup and Mustard. A bunch of, like, the big, like, fighting game scene people will actually try it with, like, level. Like, there's a bunch of videos, like, level 1 Joker versus Batman. I think I showed you one before the game came out.
Maybe.
I showed someone one, and it's just like, oh, Batman just hit a 3-hit combo.
Yes.
And it did like 60% damage because he has gear and is a level 20. And then Joker's hitting like 10-hit combos, and he did 30.
Yeah.
Like 30 points of damage.
That happens during the normal game. I get so frustrated.
Like, Brainiac.
Brainiac.
Oh, Brainiac's the worst. Oh, my God. But who was I fighting the other day that was, he was making me so angry. And I had
Scarecrow?
To fight him. Scarecrow. I had to fight him 5 or 6 times.
I couldn't remember if you were as Scarecrow or
no.
If you were
I was Supergirl,
right?
Which is my best character, and I tear people up usually. But the Scarecrow, like I would hit him 5-6 combos for 200 damage. 3 times he hits me 3 times for 300 plus. I'm like, how?
Yeah.
How? Isn't fair.
That is one of my frustrations with it. Is the seeing the computer do things that I could never do, strictly because they don't have to worry about, like, the inputs.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Like, every time I see a combo into a command grab into another combo, like, that makes me angry.
Yeah.
Because I'm lucky to...
It's sick. Now, there's some people that can do those.
Oh, yeah, no.
Like, Terrence was insane on Mortal Kombat.
Yeah,
like, he would tear you apart.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to get that good on this, but...
I don't have the time
to devote to it. Yeah,
yeah, because Terrence would just spend hours every
practicing.
Day, just and not just like not regular practicing. Like he had the combo that he wanted to do. He knew the combo string.
Yeah.
He knew the string of commands, and he would sit there for hours practicing that input,
just that one combo,
and then like getting setups into that combo.
Yeah, I can't do that.
No,
like that's not fun for me.
It's not.
Like I want to have fun when I play video games.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, it's kind of like there are a lot of things in that game that like can just. Make it not fun for either person.
Brainiac.
Oh my God, Brainiac. Yeah, no, like that whole
story
fight.
Mode. Story mode and in the story tower, battle simulator tower.
Because anytime Brainiac's in a ship, basically.
Well, I mean, even if
because the ship's just a level.
Yeah,
but
it's right.
But he only has those giant tentacle abilities whenever that's only as a boss in the story mode and when you're doing the battle simulator, like where you get the character ending.
Oh, yeah. So you can fight Brainiac in the ship, otherwise he won't
and
do
he,
it.
Yeah, right. He doesn't have access to that stuff.
Okay, good.
Because, yeah, no, it's like 550 damage if he hits you with both of those, like the up tentacle and the down tentacle.
It's ridiculous.
It's terrible. Mm-hmm. Like half health.
Yeah. Yep.
And you also, like, I just felt like what Asa was talking about before, like the person pulling 10 hit combos and doing like 70 damage. Mm-hmm. Cause that's what I do every, like, especially when I was playing Joker. Just trying to do just like the basic story towers Joker. And that was my hardest one.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would be sitting there setting up all these combos, doing all this stuff. Like, yeah, I thought I was beating the crap out of him and I would look and I was like, oh, I'm only halfway through a bar.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no.
Yeah. I hate those fights.
Mm-hmm.
That reminds me of when I used to play Ultima Online and I was not good. Like the character didn't have a lot of stats and you'd walk up to like a giant beast, like an Etten or a troll or something. And they had terrible accuracy. So I would sit there and chip away his health little dot by dot. But then every 30 seconds you would hear dunk and my health would go down 70%. Like, nope, run away. You get that one hit, I'm done. I'm gone. But when we were playing that, we made the joke about, I don't understand DC. You guys are going to teach me about DC. So let me start off by asking.
Well, it started with Wally West.
Yes.
And the Wally West.
And I can't even keep up with that.
No
puns intended.
I actually, because I also was not sure, so I actually looked it up. They are cousins. They both share a great-grandfather, Wallace West, and that's where they both got their names. The original Wally is Ruby West's son. The new Wally.
Oh God!
Is Daniel is her brother Daniel West's son, and then he eventually became a Reverse Flash.
Who did we used to call Nui?
You know who we used to call Nui?
It was Nate.
Was Nate Nui?
It wasn't Nate.
Was it Dalton?
It was Louis.
Oh, oh no!
Zach.
Yeah, it was Price.
Price was Nui.
Yep.
Yeah.
but yeah, so they are cousins, and their shared cousin is Iris.
Okay.
So they are both cousins too.
Okay, so my biggest question that I have about the DC universe that I've been wondering, is Superman still Chinese?
See, and the Superman thing is not something that I am entirely knowledgeable on. There is a there is a Chinese Superman currently,
mm-hmm.
but it's not Clark Kent.
Clearly.
It's someone else, I think.
I mean, I would hope not. And I'm not even trying to be funny. Like, I would just hope that they wouldn't just go, okay, we rebooted Clark Kent. He's Chinese now. Because that's stupid. You know?
Yeah.
That sounds like something
Don't
Marvel
worry.
Would
what
do.
They did, what they did with Clark Kent is probably dumber.
Oh, when they killed him off and there were four different Supermen?
No, oh no. When they did now, where they killed him off and then, oh, well, so with Rebirth, we're just going to bring in this other Superman who was already here because his universe got destroyed. So he escaped with Lois and their son. So it's Superman, and it's Clark Kent, and it's Lois Lane, but it's a different Superman. Because the new 52 Superman was the normal Superman, then he died, and then Batman knew that this other Superman was here and was keeping an eye on him. And then the first arc of Justice League, of Rebirth, saw him like, okay, well, we have to use his help because he's Superman.
Okay, so wait. So Superman that I remember from my childhood, mm-hmm. especially the death and return of Superman,
yeah,
that was New 52 Superman.
Probably.
Yes.
I don't know if that changed actual universes or not, but I'm assuming it's the same.
I'm pretty sure because when New 52 hit, I remember picking up Superman and thinking that I was going to get, like, another origin story kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
But it was more like Batman in that they kind of, like, shortened the span of
how long he had been Superman.
Wait, so what was New 52, first off?
New 52 was the fallout of Flashpoint, mm-hmm. which we're only just finding out now.
But Flashpoint was the alternate dimension, right?
Flashpoint was when Barry went back in time to stop Thawne from killing his mom. And when he did that, it created a whole butterfly effect of it caused an entire alternate future. Like his mom not dying set into motion all of this other stuff. So then he comes back into time, or he goes back to his present, and everything's different. Atlantis is at war with Themyscira.
Yeah. The Amazon world.
Right. Wonder Woman's place.
He doesn't have his power. He's not the Flash. He doesn't have his powers.
Bruce and Martha died instead of...
Only Bruce died.
No, Martha's the Joker.
Martha. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Isn't
she?
That's right. Yeah, she is.
And I think that, by the way, that is an awesome story.
That was probably the second... other than Flashpoint story itself, that was definitely the best spinoff book that they did.
Because Thomas Wayne is Batman. I've seen... Like, I watched the movie Flashpoint. Actually, mm-hmm. I think we watched that together.
Yeah, we did.
And I thought he was just awesome because he's like Batman... Except he kills.
He's the Punisher.
He's Bat Punisher.
He's the Punish Bat.
Mm-hmm. but so when he came, so he eventually went back to stop himself from changing the past because of it was going to destroy the entire world. But when he did that, what we thought happened with New 52 was there were still changes. So even the act of him traveling through time screwed with the timeline. So. Some people just had complete origin stories with New 52, like they had never been there yet.
Like Green Arrow, I think, was one that got a complete origin story.
Green Arrow.
We got a new Swamp Thing.
I think Constantine.
I was going to say Constantine.
The only ones that were really left mostly unfazed were Superman, Batman, and the Green Lantern Corps. And both of them had shortened. So instead of being in Gotham for like 15 years, it had been like 5.
So everything that happened to, because basically the way they explained it, everything that happened to Bruce Wayne over like the course of comic books happened to him in a span of 5 years.
Including Robin dying, like they
and
just
being resurrected.
Tim Drake was kind of left out, but then they brought him, but then they're like, oh no, he was a super important Robin. When? He was very important.
Because Tim Drake, that was one of the ones that was really, really inconsistent. A lot of people were complaining about, myself included a little bit, because I love Tim Drake a whole lot. He was in the Batman book. He was never a Robin. He was Red Robin. Like he never like. You...
Damn it.
he was just Red Robin. But then in the Teen Titans book, Tim Drake was the Robin of the Teen Titans. And
I think this is the same universe.
Yeah. This is in the New 52 because the Teen Titans got rebooted, including like Beast Boy got a whole new origin story.
That's what gave us that terrible, terrible Starfire.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Was this
the one you guys
were talking about?
Red Hood and the Outlaws. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where it was just her strap over her nipples.
And her just walking up like, let's go have sex.
Hmm. Yep. No, yeah, that was the most fan.
Oh, you don't have to show me because when you guys were talking about it, I looked it up.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, and I think I showed Allie a picture. I was like, so this is what they're talking about.
Did you see what New Starfire looked like after, like, still in the New 52, they completely redid Starfire's character?
I don't think so. If you want to look that up.
Yeah, I can. That happened. But yeah, I know in one of the Teen Titans book, it specifically mentioned that
his time is Robin.
Yeah, he is Red Robin in the Teen Titans, but they talk about his time as Robin with Batman. So, okay,
so why did they do that? Like, what's the point of screwing up so much history?
DC sales were down abysmally.
Way down.
They were in serious trouble.
This was a marketing decision.
So it was their way of trying to bring in a bunch of new readers, which it worked because that's when I got back into comic books.
Same here.
But it turns out a lot of like lifelong fans and even people like Jesse and I who maybe didn't like read every single month, but were familiar enough with the stories and maybe picked up a trade here or there.
Right.
We were even like, wait, that's not right. Like, one of the big ones was...
I like it, but it's something about it.
It's way better.
Way better.
Yeah.
Basically, it's a crop top and then, like, wrestling trunks almost.
She kind of looks
trunks,
like a teen.
Like wrestling...
Tights. Not an old porn star.
No trunks.
Well, because she was
tights
kind of...
Tights or the pants.
Yeah.
Okay.
She was in her own solo book. She was no longer, like, in the Red Hood and Outlaws book.
Right.
And they just released a Starfire book, now, and that was the costume.
Is New 52 about the same time that Harley Quinn took off as just the biggest... solo act in DC?
Kind of.
Because I remember seeing the Harlequin book, and I know Harlequin's always been popular.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, I grew up in the Batman the Animated Series age, which introduced Harlequin. So every time I've seen Harlequin, because for the longest time, that was my Harlequin. I don't want to be that guy.
Right.
But my Harlequin.
It's a lot of people's Harlequin.
Yeah.
Right. And so when you see her now in like the booty shorts with the double guns and stuff like that, I sometimes go, man, that's so different than the Harlequin I remember. Like,
which that's just
because every other character looks basically the same. Like if you look at the evolution of Joker and Batman and those guys, other than little things here and there, they basically look the exact same.
That's the Rebirth version of Starfire.
I like that one a lot.
Yeah, Rebirth Starfire just looks like a superhero.
Yeah, she's awesome.
But Harlequin looks so different from like what they originally envisioned her as.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, Batman looks way different from what he was originally envisioned as.
Yes.
Well, but, was it for Bill Finger?
But, I mean, still dressed in the suit. I mean, he's
no,
got
have
the
paper towel.
Have you seen Bob Kane's Batman?
I don't think I have, unless...
Bob Kane's Batman was very different, like,
as far as
Bill
I know,
Kane got a
the first...
Bill Finger. Yeah, like, what?
First Batman I can remember was just the, like, the gray and blue. Mm-hmm. Like, I always thought that was how Batman started.
No. No. For like a couple issues, maybe just the one, I'm not sure.
I'm excited to see where this is going.
But it honestly looks a whole lot like Alan Scott with bat wings.
That is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yep.
That's Batman? Yep.
That was Batman before, yeah, Bill Finger got a hold of it. Mm-hmm.
That's a good choice.
Yeah. And that's why, you know, a lot of people still don't credit him. Like, everybody just gives Bob Kane all the credit for...
That's the name I've always seen plastered all over it, Bob Kane.
Because technically, Bob Kane did create the character, but Bill Finger made it good.
And not to discredit Bob Kane, because he also, you know, the Batmobile, Batcave, like, a lot of stuff he did is iconic Batman stuff that has just been around forever.
Right.
But where people fall off is Bill Finger's influence. And
on the costume, especially.
He gets kind of shafted on that.
Allie, you're a big Batman fan.
Yes.
Large Batman fan. Small, but you're a large Batman fan.
Okay.
Would you be as big of a fan of Batman if he still looked like that?
Those
movies would have been a lot different.
They would have been a lot different.
Jesse, for people that can't see it, please describe what it looks like.
So basically, he's wearing a red unitard with kind of the black wrestling trunks. And he's still got like the utility belt, the yellow utility belt. He is very blonde. He's wearing a Robin mask, basically, and he has, like, just really, really big bat wings.
This will more than likely be the picture for the episode
If you're requesting it, you're hearing it now, folks. That is one of the worst. I mean, because I always thought the Superman design was awful.
Interestingly, have you ever seen the original Green Lantern, what he looked like?
Yes.
Alan Scott?
Yes.
Because it's remarkably similar.
Yeah. Yeah, I do know the Green Lantern looks completely different as well from his original vision. Superman's pretty much consistent.
Yeah.
They've tried to change his outfit in dumb ways sometimes.
Lots of dumb ways.
I hate the Man of Steel.
We're going to make him Blue Firestorm.
Yeah.
Doesn't really work.
Yeah, they do have a similar.
Yeah,
Green.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the original. Like that's Alan Scott Green Lantern.
I like my Hal Jordan Green Lantern.
Yeah.
I mean, I like my Kyle Rayner Green Lantern, but that's pretty good.
I like Ryan Reynolds' Green Lantern.
I mean, he was the only you could tell he was the only person on that set that cared about the property.
Green Lantern?
Yeah.
Because he was a great Hal Jordan.
Yeah.
If only the rest of that movie, including the outfits, looked any good.
This is off topic, but what's your favorite Green Lantern movie? Because there's been a couple that he's been the focus of, or he's been in. Because my favorite is still New Frontier.
Oh, you're including animated stuff.
Yes, of course.
Okay,
yeah, sorry.
It's like,
no, with animated included, because I love the New Frontier movie. You've seen
that,
right?
Yeah, no, the New Frontier movie.
Have you
really
seen
good.
That one, Asa?
I don't think so.
Voiced by David Boreanaz, so I'm a big fan of. And it was mostly about him.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like that movie. It's based on the book, obviously. If you've never read the book, it's also very, very good.
Because was that the Green Lantern New Frontier movie, or was that just like Justice League New Frontier?
It was Justice League.
That's what I thought.
Because it was when he was still a test pilot, mm-hmm. and then he becomes the Green Lantern. But at the same time, there's a story about Martian Manhunter coming to Earth for the first time. Superman works for the government, and Batman, probably my favorite part, because he scares children. So at the end, he changes his outfit to the more like rounded
ears. Yeah.
And he's like, this is so I don't scare children as much anymore.
Yeah, the Justice League New Frontier is one of the really early DC directs.
And I think it was one of the first.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's one of my favorite books, too. I for whatever reason, I like, and you guys are probably going to agree with me, but I like DC comics more than I like Marvel comics when it comes to stories. Because some of my favorite books are almost entirely made up of DC comics. The Killing Joke, The Long Halloween, Kingdom Come. And I know these are basic stories that everyone knows, but I really love them. And they're
classics for a reason.
Yeah, they are. Right. It's one of those things, like the way I always phrase it, DC has my favorite hero in Batman,
mm-hmm.
but Marvel has more books that I like.
See, and for me, it's Marvel has more characters that I like, but DC has more books that I like, and also Batman.
Yeah, honestly, I would say right now, DC probably has more running books that I like, and that's honestly... That's not really a huge fault of like the characters in Marvel. It's that Marvel won't stop running events.
Well, and plus, we're talking about DC right now, and mm-hmm. you guys are kind of catching me up on what's been happening. Mm-hmm. I can't even begin to fathom what's happening in Marvel. Jesse tried to explain to me about the X-Men, my own personal favorite heroes, mm-hmm. has always been the X-Men. Mm. And then Jesse's like, okay, this is the gold team. This is the blue team.
X-Men machine broke.
It's been broke ever since.
The Inhumans, right?
No, Fox.
Ever since Fox. It's all because of Fox. Like, once
Marvel sold off the movie rights.
Yep. And honestly, they were just kind of hoping to get those back eventually, like they had from a few other companies. And,
they just hope to stay a company.
Yeah.
And then Papa Disney came in and they're like,
start flashing cash.
Well, now we don't got to worry about this money anymore. Hey, can we get that back? What do you mean, no?
Well, no, to be fair, the whole like bankruptcy thing happened way before Disney came along. And they were doing fantastic because the book sales were way over DC's before Disney came along. Like, they had tried to get those rights back when they started putting the Iron Man stuff in, because I don't think Disney owned Marvel before Iron Man, did they?
That I don't know.
I don't think so.
They didn't, because I remember a lot of the internet, like, well, at least they already got them, like, because they were scared they were going to recast.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going to just do away with all of the early, like, DC or MCU stuff.
Because I want to say, like, the MCU had Avengers planned before mm-hmm. Disney bought them. So, I mean, they were rolling in it. Like, as far as, like, because comic book sales, like Asa was talking about before, the whole reason New 52 came about is because Marvel was selling books almost, like, from certain shop sellers told me that Marvel was going 3-1 DC.
Well, so everyone that I remember as a kid, everyone made fun of DC. Everyone said DC was just so lame. Like, you got the guy that talks to fish. You got, you know, Wonder Woman didn't get a lot of respect where I was from. It was pretty much just Batman. Even Superman didn't get respect.
I mean,
it was just Batman. And by the way, I'm a big Superman fan. I know that's not a popular opinion. Everyone likes Batman more than Superman. I legitimately like Superman more than Batman. And it was, I don't know why, the Kingdom Come book. When I read it, I suddenly just loved Superman so much in that book.
Well, because in Kingdom Come, they finally gave Superman some character flaws.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like, I was talking to Ace about this the other day, and it's in my opinion, Supergirl is the superior version. Because she's a flawed character. And she is somewhat relatable. Versus Superman, whose only real flaw is that he's too perfect. And, like, that's what he complains about.
It's what I didn't like about the Red Ranger in the Power Rangers movie.
Oh, that he was too good.
My life is so hard because I'm great at everything.
But I think, where Kingdom Come succeeded, where Man of Steel and Batman v Superman didn't, was showing the weight of that being perfect and how quickly that can be a curse, like legitimately. Because Superman, even though he was superpower and all that, couldn't save the woman he loved, hated himself, kind of hated everything he was about. And like Batman v Superman, they kind of had hints of that, because that movie had some of my favorite imagery in all of comic book movies. Like, even though I didn't really like the movie as much.
No, it was pretty.
It was pretty.
Yeah, it was pretty.
And the scene of, like, Superman coming down to the person on the roof mm-hmm. is one of my favorite all-time scenes in a comic book movie, because that was perfect. That mm-hmm. is Superman. The part where he's sitting in the courtroom, even though it's a stupid scene.
Him walking through the hallway with the handcuffs.
Yeah, and everything blowing up, and mm-hmm. him just standing there with, like, a look on his face of...
Just what's happening.
Yeah, humanity, mm-hmm. you know? Like, that's great. And that's the kind of Superman I like. He doesn't always have to be so dark, but just that flaw. You have to have that flaw. Otherwise, you have Goku. And I hate Goku.
Yeah, Goku's only flaw is that he
dies every 10 episodes.
He hasn't figured out how to go Super Saiyan 50 yet.
No, he can't turn down a fight. That's the like a challenge. Mm-hmm. That actually has been a plot point in several parts of Dragon Ball Z, where like the story, like certain sagas, like the Cell saga, mm-hmm. they could have killed Cell before anything ever went wrong, before Cell murdered thousands of people, but Goku wanted a fight. Yeah, well, Cell's like, I can become stronger. And Goku and Vegeta both are like, really? How strong?
Okay, and again, I'm not knowledgeable on Dragon Ball Z, and not to get way off topic, but didn't that saga end with Goku like, oh, you're super strong now. Fight my kid.
No.
Handle my lightweight.
Yeah, no, the way that saga ended, Goku realizing that perfect Cell, because he's achieved mm-hmm. his perfect form at this point, was far too strong for them to fight, tried...
the instant transmission
into space. Tried the instant transmission, because the Cell was self-destructing.
Yeah.
He's going
to take out the world, so he instant transmissioned him out to space, and then the one Cell remained. Get it?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then,
no, because yes.
Goku used instant transmission, so now I know that.
Yep, and then he came right back to Earth. Goku was dead, so then Gohan had to fight him. Gohan hit Super Saiyan 2, mm-hmm. and
Jesus Christ, do they have a handbook for that? Like the button combination you have to put in to get to Super Saiyan 20?
You just gotta yell real loud. It's yelling louder and louder.
And suddenly you feel it. You'll know when you hit it.
Because in the new series, it's like they're like super god,
super saiyan god or something like that. No,
stop.
It's gotten ridiculous. All right, let's get back to DC because it's less ridiculous somehow.
A little bit. So Rebirth comes along. We'll get off Superman because I can talk about Superman, but I really don't have.
I did want to go back real quick with Superman. I looked up because I'll reiterate. Superman has never been a character that I read. I don't care for it. I don't keep up with it. It's fine.
Even though he's had some great books. American Alien is fantastic.
And that's what I heard.
Have you not read it?
No.
I haven't either.
I haven't either.
No. Trinity. He's good in Trinity. But again, it focuses more. The Trinity book is more along the lines of how Bruce Wayne does not trust new Superman. It took him a very long time to put his trust in the first Clark Kent. And he's not ready to just go in blind again because, again, a being of such immense power could go very, very badly.
Also a good storyline, which I thought they did well in Batman v Superman for like the first 10 minutes, and then they dropped it.
Honestly, my favorite Superman stories are ones where he goes bad. Like
mine too, except I hate when Batman's always the one that corrals him in because he's always got something.
Well, yeah.
I got this ring.
Because Red Sun. That whole storyline where he landed in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
That was a fun, what if.
That's not a what if. That's happening now. They're developing them over there, and Donald Trump's buying them wholesale.
And then, I really like the Injustice storyline, too. But the new Superman, the Asian one you were talking about, dude by the name of Kenan Kong.
Yes, that's right. I remember that. Yeah, because that's a weird...
Is it
K-A-H-N or K-O-N-G?
K-O-N-G. And a brash teenage jock who was selected by a secret Chinese government organization to be the test subject for a serum that replicates Superman's powers.
I hate him already.
That's how he came along.
Anytime I hear the word perfect, like jock, I never like the jock characters, like the Red Ranger.
Right.
Jock characters are always the worst.
Yeah, so that's the new Superman. And then, what Ace was talking about with
is he dead yet?
New Clark Kent. I don't think so.
I don't think so. I'm not sure.
Because it's a Rebirth book that I'm pretty sure is still going. Superman. Yeah, meh.
He's very meh. But so the New 52 came about because of Flashpoint. And it changed a lot of stuff that a lot of people were not happy with. It started very strong for DC, but it fell off real quick.
Yep.
There were only a few highlights, like Batman with Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo's Batman was universally praised as one of the best comic runs ever. Justice League Dark was also very, very good.
I like Justice League Dark. I
really wish they would bring that back for Rebirth. I get why they're not, but I want more of it. Swamp Thing, Animal Man.
I've never even heard of Animal Man.
I think
probably like Animal Man a lot. It's one of their horror series along with Swamp Thing.
Basically, there are three. There's the green and the red. The green is Swamp Thing is the avatar of the green, which is just the life force for all of nature and plants. The red is that, but for the animal kingdom.
Flora versus fauna.
So Animal Man is basically Swamp Thing of the animals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both of those books were really, really good. I'm trying to think. And then it really kind of kicked off the big Suicide Squad craze and the Harley Quinn craze because she was the...
Suicide Squad, the first three arcs were incredible.
Now, wasn't the Suicide Squad, the point of them was that they took on the lesser missions that the superpowered people couldn't do?
No, they were a secret government organization, Hit Squad. They're completely expendable, so if they die... Mm-hmm. If they send them to a foreign country...
Suicide Squad.
Yeah, if they send them to a foreign country and they die, it doesn't matter. They were a criminal who somehow got over there.
Right.
Also, if they got caught...
They were just a criminal doing criminal things,
right? Yeah.
And they would be
no ties to the government.
No ties to the government at all, aside from Amanda Waller, who is again above the president, basically somehow.
Yeah.
Don't take much these days.
But their book was really, really good, and this was also one of the first times we really got an extended Harley Quinn away from the Joker. Yeah. And that I think that's what really.
And she's never looked back, has she?
Not yet.
A couple times. Well, has she? Suicide Squad.
Well,
the movie or the book?
The movie.
Oh, but I mean the comic character.
In the comic books, there were Joker's had a couple of reappearances, but I think, was it Death of the Family?
Mm-hmm.
He appeared and he tried to get Harley Quinn and she turned him down because he tried to kill her again.
Mm-hmm. Because she was going along with it briefly.
But then he set her up as bait Because the Death of the Family Joker was straight up like...
horror villain.
Yeah, super homicidal. Like,
I don't understand the Joker either. That's another one that I've been lost on. Because at one point, I heard he was immortal. I heard they cut his face off, but then he like stapled it back on.
So that was the first issue of Detective Comics in New 52. There was a villain called the Dollmaker who was making dolls out of people. And for whatever reason, they never explained why he wanted it to happen. But Joker had the Dollmaker cut his own face off of him. And then we just didn't see the Joker again.
Oh, so he did that on purpose.
He did it on purpose.
Yeah. And the Joker was presumed dead by, like, the GCPD mm-hmm. because, you know, Dollmaker cut his face off.
Batman never really, but they never found the body, so Batman never truly believed it. Then he comes back for Death of the Family, where he has his face,
he goes to GCPD, wearing
his face like a mask.
Yeah, the first reappearance, he goes to GCPD because they have, after they take Dollmaker, they actually frame Joker's face. Mm-hmm. In GCPD.
I did remember that.
Yeah. And so they went in, he killed every cop but Gordon and told Gordon to warn Batman that he was coming. And yeah, took his face back. And yeah, that's when he turned his face into a mask.
Now, can I ask, did Batman ever catch the Joker after that?
Sort of. Basically, the way that ended, the Joker was about to get away and ended up forcing Batman to break his neck, like...
I thought that was Dark Knight Returns. Isn't that the same thing in Dark Knight Returns?
Similar. No, he killed himself in Dark Knight Returns. People love to point out that after Batman v Superman, like, oh, Batman killed the Joker in Dark Knight Returns. No, he didn't.
He broke
Joker
his own
killed
neck.
Himself and made it look like Batman killed him.
Yeah. But, I mean, he wasn't in good shape. Like, no, his neck was already effed. But...
Which one was it where he just fell down the pit, like, into the water, and they never found the body again?
I thought that was Death of the Family. You're right.
There was a big fight in the Batcave, and... Joker pretty much made Batman like kick him off of this giant ledge, or he let go or something.
Mm.
Because that one was just about like how in love with each other they were supposed to be. They were destined to be together.
Yin and Yang,
it's a great run. Like everyone should read it. But it ends with, spoiler alert, Joker falling through down this giant pit into a water, like a waterfall in the Batcave, and body was never found. And then it turns out there's a story arc in the Justice League where Batman briefly sits in the chair of God or Darkseid's – or not Darkseid.
Apocalypse.
I know the scene you're talking about because I remember hearing about it, but I never read it.
And they basically ask – he asks like two questions. One of them is who killed my parents? It was Joe Chill. And then he asks for Joker's true identity, and he basically says that can't be true. So they never really expand on that very much.
So Batman knows who the Joker really is, but he won't tell?
I don't think the name means anything. Like, they never really expanded on that. It's not like it's a secret identity, like, oh, if I figure out who the Joker is, then I can stop him. Because it's just the Joker.
Why would he say that's not true?
We don't know because they've never said anything.
But I mean, like, okay, that sounds like it's important then.
Because in Endgame, which was the second-to-last story arc that Scott Snyder did for the Batman run in New 52, the Joker plants the idea that he is a god. He's like a god of chaos and that he has always been around. And there's all these like ancient news clippings and newspaper articles with pictures of people who look a lot like the Joker. He's back fully like normal because of a Lazarus pit. So...
And that's why you see like young dapper Joker later in the New 52 after... You saw the whole, like, face cut off thing.
Faceless, which, and I really loved because they never answered it. It could just be this was all just an elaborate hoax by the Joker to screw with Batman's head. It could just be that he has been using Lazarus pits through all this time. Maybe he is some sort of demon. Like, no one really, we still don't know. We just got all of these awesome, intricate possibilities. But that one ends with Batman and Joker basically killing themselves, like Batman basically killing both of them before he can get to the Lazarus pit. But then somehow he does get to the Lazarus pit. I don't remember. I got kind of confused there.
Is this when they battle for the cowl?
No, this was a different story. Battle for the cowl was before New 52.
Yeah, okay. This was called Endgame. And it had Bruce Wayne killing the part of his brain that was Joker, or that was Batman.
Yeah.
And the same thing happened to Joker. Like, he killed the part of the brain that had all of those memories of Joker. So for the for the stretch of time that Jim Gordon was the new Batman in New 52, Bruce Wayne had no idea that he'd previously been Batman. Because Alfred just kind of like was ecstatic at the fact that he wasn't Batman anymore, and he didn't know, and it just saved him from all of that pain and everything.
Well, yep. What about Joker?
There's a really creepy, Ooh. Awesome scene where Bruce Wayne is just – he knows something's wrong. He knows that this life isn't
right.
Even right. though he's happy, there's just something missing, and he doesn't know what it is.
Because he's really just gone full into the whole, like, philanthropist. Like, yeah. He is all over the place with charity events, like, helping, like, rebuild stuff after Endgame.
He's his father.
He's what everybody basically says. Like, if Batman was just Bruce Wayne, he could do so much more good. That was this, and it was great to see. And so he's just, like, wandering through a park, and there's just this guy sitting on a bench. And he's so just, like, he's just weird. But there's something about him that he makes him go talk to him. And they sit down and they have this huge conversation about, like, life and death and meaning. And it all is, like, there's this undertone of, like, no, that's the Joker. Like, and he knows he's the Joker, and he's just about to kill Bruce Wayne. And I got goosebumps thinking about it.
He knows he's the Joker?
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't. But, like, it kind of, like, it gives you these hints. Like, the reader knows it's Joker because of, various things that happen. And then, so basically you have Joker as a regular Joe sitting on a park bench talking to Bruce Wayne, not knowing, or, you know, that's not Batman.
And they have no idea they have this huge history together. But there's all this imagery of, like, him reaching into his pocket. And, like, you see, like, a shine of something about to be pulled out, and it is a lighter.
So when Bruce Wayne kills off the part of his brain that's Batman, he goes back to being Bruce Wayne.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who the hell does the Joker go back to being? Because he was nothing but the Joker.
They never say his name. He doesn't say his name.
Yeah. I mean, he
but
was.
But that guy had to wake up somewhere and go, okay, what have I been doing for the past?
It's one of those things. The Joker doesn't have, like, a true origin story outside of the whole Red Hood gang, which is, like, fairly commonly considered canon.
Yeah,
like
but it's not officially canon. That's just where a lot of people.
Yeah. A lot of that came from the Killing Joke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And even in the Killing Joke, that was the movie version, especially added extra detail about the whole Red Hood stuff. But
I didn't like the movie.
And honestly, with New 52, origin stories are out the window for the most part.
And that's the frustrating part about comics.
But in
for
Rebirth,
me.
A lot of the origin stories are back.
Because what because what happened, and they explained it actually really well. The Rebirth book itself, I've said it before, is like a 90-page apology to the diehard DC fans for screwing up a lot of stuff. And what happened was when Flash came back, it allowed something or someone to reach into their universe and steal 3 years of their lives. Like, it just kind of totally screwed with their timeline. So that's why Green Arrow and Black Canary weren't together.
And never even knew each other.
Didn't even know each other. That's why old Wally West was just gone. Because they stole, because they altered it to where Abracadabra had removed him from the time stream. They did, God, what else did they give back? Tim Drake had been Robin again.
Yeah.
Basically,
they set a whole bunch of stuff back to the way it was before
New 52.
Before New 52. There was a lot of stuff from New 52 stuck around, like the events posted happening, but the stuff from that missing gap.
Like New Wally. They kept New Wally.
Yeah. They kept New Wally. They kept a lot of the adventures that a lot of them had had. Like, in Batman, for example, they frequently reference Zero Year, which was like that was the whole like Endgame and all that good stuff. So it all happened. And also Batman has his new suit after he does eventually Bruce Wayne, remembers that he's Batman and he has to go through this.
That was heartbreaking.
Yeah. He has to go through this process where he effectively dies and, it's almost like a Lazarus pit, but not quite the way the process works. But it takes his body back to peak physical condition and brings Batman back.
Basically, he kills himself and then revives himself. And he does it until the brain waves match a pattern of when he built the machine to do it.
Yep. And rebuilds his body completely.
But there's a terrible scene of Alfred on his knees, trying to pull him away from the grandfather clock that opens into the Batcave, just pleading for him to not go back.
So what is his Joker back, or is he still missing?
Joker, we don't. Joker's still not been in Rebirth yet, and even this. So there's a new. The next big Batman arc is going to be the War of Jokes and Riddles, which is a prequel story to what it's like after Zero Year. So it's like the I think it's year two, something
like that.
So Tom King is going to be doing a Joker story, but it's not in present day.
Right.
So effectively, Joker is still not Joker, or he could be, or it could have, or he could have been fixed. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
He did the thing.
Well, yeah.
Say it. You can't make a motion and then not follow up.
Well, I didn't
on
know
it.
If Asa wanted to like say it in front of all the viewers and stuff.
Right. Is this a recent spoiler?
No, it's at the end of New 52.
It's how Endgame. Well, not
Bloom. Like whatever that arc was. Basically, okay. So the way that scene ends, a lot of the conversation they were talking about is how Bruce Wayne had put in a lot of effort to fix the lake they were sitting next to. Before it was just kind of swampy. There were mosquitoes everywhere. It was terrible, and you know it was uninhabitable, invisible, and now it was good. And you know that was like this whole conversation they had that was kind of touching, like a little bit of like just them exploring life and death through this metaphor that was beautiful. And once it looks like the park is going to go back to its natural state of swampy and bugs and stuff like that, and the guy that we're pretty sure is Joker walks out of the lake and shoots himself in the head.
But he's not confirmed to be Joker.
Not officially, no.
So they could just say, no, it wasn't him.
They could.
Yeah, there could be some. And maybe with, you know, what happened with Rebirth, with a lot of stuff resetting, maybe that didn't happen or...
Possibly. Yeah, we're not sure.
They gave themselves a lot of wiggle room there. Not a lot, but by comic book standards.
By comic book standards, they gave themselves all the wiggle room they would ever need.
Yep.
So how much time do we have left?
About 5 minutes.
Okay. Damn. Okay, so for the final 5 minutes, just fix me real quick because... No, because the reason I criticize Batman so much is because in my head, and tell me I'm wrong. I want you to prove me wrong. In my head, his story with the Joker is both one of my favorite and least favorites of all time because I love the stories. They're great. But at the same time, I hate the fact that Joker just keeps getting sent to prison, sent to Arkham, whatever. He murders hundreds, if not thousands of people. Batman catches him, throws him back in jail every time. Tell me I'm wrong, and that's not really how it goes, that I am that it's a misconception on my part.
It
and that Batman
that.
Doesn't just throw him in jail and go, now this time, don't you get out and murder entire families again. I know I could kill you and end this, but I have my code.
Joker hasn't been to Arkham in a while. If he ever gets caught and institutionalized, he will almost certainly die. Like they
like executed?
Yeah.
Because I remember a story. I can't tell you what story it is. I can't tell you when it was. But I was in Hastings years ago. I pick up a book about Batman Joker. And as I'm reading it, there's a part where they say, yeah, Joker can't be killed because he's legally insane. They won't execute him. Is that a thing?
I mean, that's a real world explanation. Like that's applying real world rules.
But that
to...
cannot be. True.
I feel like there would be exceptions made in the legal system. Well,
if a serial killer in real life got out and murdered a bunch of people, got put back in jail because he's so crazy.
And he did it like six times.
And he did it like six times. They have to execute him, right?
I'm pretty sure, like, I don't remember when I read it, but I'm pretty sure fairly recently, like since New 52, they have mentioned that, like, if the Joker ever gets caught, like, he's going to be executed almost immediately.
And not even necessarily by...
An official,
the cops will just kill
the
police
big thing is,
or other criminals or because Joker
shoot
is,
on sight. Like
I would say because you just said he murdered the entire Gotham City Police Department.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah.
Like it's one of those or everybody that was there anyway, and it's one of those things. Like they've given like shoot on sight permission and all this other stuff. The thing is, Joker hasn't been to Arkham in the comic books in a very long time
since New 52. When he got taken there, and I think even that was supposed to be like temporary holding or something.
Yeah,
but even that New 52 is what 5-6 years old.
I want to say it was like 2011. Yeah,
because I'm pretty sure I was still in college. So I mean,
that's
at
a lot
least.
Of years where Joker's just murdering people and going to jail for it.
Yeah, and he's gotten a lot more heinous.
And that's what I hate. That's why I can't like Batman is because like none of his other villains are that way. Or if I'm wrong, let me know. Like Two-Face is not a good guy, but he's not a serial killer. Penguin. I mean, even Scarecrow uses fear toxin, but he doesn't really murder indiscriminately.
He has in some arcs.
A lot of them. Like, Two-Face kills a lot of people.
But Two-Face...
Like, a lot of people.
But he's not... No one's quite as bad as Joker.
No.
Like, no.
Everyone's,
Joker
like,
is
redeemable.
Yeah.
Except the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the... Like I said, the Joker hasn't been to Arkham. The last at least three times that I know of that Batman and Joker have interacted, the Joker has gotten away presumed dead by everyone except for Batman.
And this is also only applying to comic. Into the comics, because, like, yeah, Arkham Asylum, he was sent to Arkham and he took over because that was his whole plan. Like, you're going to have these, outliers of other.
Yeah.
Media, we're talking about. Those are all, main universe DC.
Right. The canon books, Joker hasn't been to Arkham in a while. They have been, over and over again, police have been given shoot on sight. So basically, the Joker very carefully makes sure that he is nowhere near, police at any time. Like, any time that the police go to anywhere where, they think he's going to be. It's a clever ruse to, gas them all or whatever.
And even then, he uses his...
Love that Joker.
Because he knows he knows that they're afraid of him. So he... And, it's one of the things where people will make the argument that he is a metahuman. Of his ability to talk people out of killing him for just long enough so he can kill them. He's real good at, because there have been multiple times that police have had guns drawn on him. But they listen to him because they're just captivated at what he says.
So they're just using – because that sounds like an excuse to just gloss over the fact that they need him to kill them and they need to set up ways for him to kill him that would work. That people aren't going to read it and go, well, why didn't they just shoot him? Because that's what I would do. Yeah. That's what I would say. Why do – if you ever saw the Joker
– that's why you can't apply real-world logic to comic books. Because it doesn't work.
And it's one of those things, you said it yourself, it's really annoying, when you think about it, why is the Joker still alive? And it's one of those, it gets brought up a lot, just inside and outside of the comic books, but it's some of the best Batman stories out there are Batman Joker stories.
Oh yeah, I agree.
Even if the Joker should be dead by now. He should not have been given this opportunity to create these amazing stories. But at the same time,
you have to because it's writing.
Boy, are these stories great.
Right.
And it's Under the Red Hood, I think, did it best of questioning why he is still alive, why Batman didn't kill him. Because you have Jason Todd being like, no, I'm not talking about Riddler. I'm not talking about Scarecrow. It's Joker. It's him. He took me from you. How can you still just let him do this? And the response Batman gives him is perfect. It's because it's not that it would be hard to kill him. It would be entirely too easy. But that's exactly what he wants. And it's like in Dark Knight, I want you to break your one rule.
Yeah.
Because he knows that's how he wins. That's how he wins.
But Jesus Christ, let him win the moral game. And how many lives could you save?
Well, that's the thing. Once Batman crosses that line, there's no coming back.
You don't go back to it. It's Injustice 2 had a great line. I took one life to save millions. Yeah, but it wasn't just one, was it?
Yeah. And that was Superman.
I would take my chances.
I know you would. And all of us would.
I think everyone would.
Yeah, but it's one of those things, Batman, that's why Batman's got to be above it. Especially, and it makes sense in the whole, aspect of vigilante justice. You can't have vigilantes deciding that they are judge, jury, and executioner. Because then you even have, there was actually
but
in the...
Punisher does it.
I know, and that's why Punisher doesn't have any compelling villains.
Good. In real life, that's good. For comics, that's kind of boring.
Yeah, exactly. It's great for people to just be shot without a trial.
Yeah.
Judge Dredd did it.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Because that was a utopian future, right?
I'd live in that.
So they actually did in the Flash Rebirth run, and I'm sorry if I'm spoiling this for anybody out there, but it was the first arc in the Flash Rebirth run. And they did a great, great, great scene about that. There's this new speedster he got access to the Speed Force. He was going to partner up with Barry Allen. They were going to, help stop crime and all this other stuff. They were going to be a great duo. And basically, this dude decided that the justice system had failed him, so he was going to take matters into his own hands, and he murdered the dude that he believes murdered his brother.
He knew it. He knew this guy killed his brother.
Positive.
He did the research. He did the investigation. 100%. This is the man who killed my brother. He went to trial, got off, and now he's just living life a murderer. So he kills him.
I see the twist coming.
Plot twist.
It wasn't him. Was it?
Wasn't him.
No. Yeah, Barry looks over the evidence again. And really, really looks into it, uses some Speed Force voodoo to do his investigation stuff. And yeah, he determines that the same thing the court did, it wasn't him. The evidence wasn't compelling enough, and then Barry proved that it wasn't him and gave all the paperwork proving that to this guy while he was sitting in jail.
But I feel like there's a big difference between that and the Joker.
There is.
But he also didn't only kill the guy who killed his brother.
Right.
He killed a lot. He decided, oh, here's some petty criminals.
Take the law into your own hand constantly.
Yeah.
I feel like
it's like the Punisher. It's like, yeah, he stopped that bank robbery where no one was going to die.
Except the people that got shot.
Except for the criminals that he killed. Grand larceny is a death penalty appropriate offense.
Yeah.
There was a real life story. I know I don't want to tell that story because it relates to that. It's about a woman that kills a guy who's robbing a store, and he, like, no one had to die. He was just going to rob the store, but she shot him, and she's a hero for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to talk about that because that's real life. That's depressing. I know we don't have time. I feel like there's not a lot of – no one gives a lot of respect to – the Kingdom Come story. You know the Kingdom Come story.
No, we all love the Kingdom Come story.
But I mean, like, it's a very similar thing where, so Joker kills Lois Lane. Just kills her. She's dead. And Superman does not kill him. He resists. And it's some other hero who's tired of it and kills the Joker instead. And then that guy becomes a hero. Everyone parades him around like, oh, he finally did what no one else would have the balls to do. And then Superman goes off and lives on a farm somewhere in wherever he's from. Where is it?
Smallville.
Yeah, wherever that is. Smallville, USA.
Smallville, Kansas.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was Kansas.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it's kind of the same thing. Like, and to me, that's just as fascinating of a story, that here's a guy who could flick his wrist and wipe out an entire country. And he had the courage, I guess, to not just brutally destroy this guy. And
okay. Just, that is so ass backwards of you then.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, well, it's so easy for Superman to achieve. Oh, but he didn't. And that makes him great. But Batman.
I just said at the beginning that I feel like there's not a lot of respect for that because it's so similar. Everyone talks about Batman's moral code, but no one ever talks about Superman in the same situation.
Yeah,
not killing someone when it's easier for him to do it.
But also because that's a one story thing. Like that's one of Batman's key, like every story that Batman is in revolves around that.
When did that start? Like, I have a legitimate question. When did that start? Because
that's too much of a deep pull.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Like, it started really early because the heroes were wholesome.
It's pretty
much stopped in like the 80s and 90s
when everybody was just killing everybody because that was popular.
It was. I think that was another Bill Finger or Bob Kane. Like, it was a Bob Kane or Bill Finger decision. Like, very early that he
shouldn't be, because basically, especially like if you got a power or if you got a hero with no powers. Like, his powers of being a rich dude that can fight really good.
Yeah.
As back then, they didn't really want to have that impression of, it's okay to go out and kill bad guys.
Superman does kill, doesn't he?
No.
Not humans. Like, there are, like...
Like, aliens or robots?
Aliens and robots, it's kind of... Aliens more so, it's been a little bit more of a gray area.
Because he didn't want to kill a Man of Steel.
Because usually it's monsters.
Right.
So, like, monsters aren't, you know, there's no...
Like Darkseid would be something he would kill.
He's never killed
Darkseid. No, Darkseid.
Apocalypse?
No, help me. Doomsday.
Doomsday. Yeah.
Yes, because it's one of those things where, like, because that's, I think that's one of the, that's more of the reason that Batman gets that kind of, that appreciation for not killing. Because all of his villains are mentally ill people. And he tries to get them help. He tries to help them. You know, he always tries to talk them down from what they're doing.
That was one of my favorite scenes from the Dark Knight. That
he's trying to talk Harvey down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when he's telling the guy, like, you know, this is the kind of people the Joker attracts, like mentally ill people. Like, what are you going to kill this guy?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's sick. And I like that part.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
It's not that I hate that Batman doesn't kill. I really don't.
But no, going back to your point, like, it's not that people respect Superman any less for doing that, because everybody talks about how Superman is the same thing. He doesn't kill people. Like, he could easily kill so many people, but he doesn't, except for in that Injustice storyline, which is real interesting. But the point of that is because
he killed somebody.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
It's what Batman was afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
It's why Batman doesn't kill, is because you take one life, and then it's so easy to take more in the interest of justice.
Yeah. And it's the thing, like, Kingdom Come was a great story, and everybody, like, I have never heard anybody say, like, I really disliked Kingdom Come.
And I liked Batman in Kingdom Come. Because that was a good storyline, too.
It was. Mm-hmm.
That Batman was so broken down from fighting because he never gave up.
He's human, yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And it's not that people give any less respect. It's just that not very many people like Superman in general. Somebody talks about it.
Yeah.
And I mean, also...
There's a severe dislike for Superman that I've never understood.
I don't... Because if you think about, like, Superman, like, how many times could or should he have killed Lex Luthor?
That's a good question. Mm-hmm. But I will...
But then again, I don't think Lex Luthor has ever necessarily been a... He has ruined many lives, countless lives.
Yeah,
but I don't think he's actively genocided a city.
No, he's never like gone mass murder like the Joker does.
I feel like he's never pulled the trigger himself, but he set events into motion that have cost lots of
his hands. Yes. Got a lot of blood on him. Yeah. And yeah. Also, he also is, you know, the rich. I'm sure he's had multiple like housing projects shut down and like he's ruined people's lives financially to get what he wants.
He's more subtle than Joker just flat out stabbing people.
Stitching people together into a giant tapestry that spells out "All hail the king."
That's something. Yeah, that happened.
I never liked Luthor either.
I always
thought he was a boring villain.
Sometimes, Luthor can be written well.
You know the best Luthor story?
What's that?
Of Kingpin in the first season of Daredevil. It was really good.
It was great. So it's just, people respect Superman less. That's why you don't hear about it as much.
Just shame. I don't know why I like Superman more than Batman. I'm so counterculture. Everyone likes Ryu, so I like Ken. Everyone liked Scorpion and Sub-Zero, so I like Johnny Cage.
I like Johnny Cage a lot.
Love Johnny Cage.
I hated Johnny Cage when I was a kid. I love Johnny Cage. Like Mortal Kombat 9 and X, I love Johnny Cage.
It really rebooted him.
In the story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway. All right. We're out of time.
We're at an hour 10 minutes.
Okay. We're out of time. We'll have to continue this some other time, though, because I find it interesting.
We can revisit this.
One of our most popular episodes was the episode me, you, Allie, and Ethan did about
Batman versus Punisher.
That was a good story. That was a good one. So we'll do this again. Thank you, Jesse, for being here, and Alla and Asa.
Alla and Asa.
Jesus Christ. We'll be back tomorrow with Pro Wrestling Unscripted. We're going to talk about CCW.
Mm-hmm.
They had the show over the weekend, the Ashley McClure Memorial Show. Yeah. I kept wanting to say Inferno, but that's the next one.
That's the next one.
We're also going to talk about Backlash. Yep. That was huge.
Takeover.
So it was a big week of wrestling. We'll talk about it all tomorrow, and it'll be a lot of fun. Thank you guys for listening. We will be back tomorrow. Have a good night, and go read some Superman books, please.
Read Endgame and Death of the Family. All of Scott Snyder's Batman run.
Go back to New 52, read that entire Batman run. It's all good.
And Age of Apocalypse. That was a good one.
American Alien? Is that the one you were talking about?
That's,
I know that's a different story, but...
Yeah, what is your favorite comic book of all time? Just real quick, just of the entire story.
Nope.
No, because
I do have, like
that's a whole. I'm gonna need time.
I can't spring that one like on me.
It's Long Halloween for me. I really love Long Halloween. It's my absolute favorite comic I've ever read.
It's a fantastic story
because I'm a big Two-Face fan.
My gut reaction goes to Hush because I'm also a huge Riddler fan.
Yeah,
and also just that character of Hush is awesome.
Back when Tim Sale could draw.
Yep. Oh, don't remind me that. Stop it. But then again, but if I think about it, it might tilt to Endgame because that was just such a.
That sounds like a future show we're gonna have to do.
It is.
All right, maybe we'll do villain. We did Villainous Month last year. We'll do something similar with Villainous Grounds in Perryville, Missouri, the place for the best coffee and whatnot,
and best comics.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. All right, so we're gonna get out of here. Asa, you pointed at you.
Oh, this is after the show.
Okay.
After the show.
I thought you wanted to take
it out. No, this is a I got you idea for an idea.
Cool. All right. You guys have a good night.